Miss Addleton.
Sergeant.
You should go upstairs now. We're going to... we're going to bring them out.
Oh, yes, thank you.
If you please, miss.
Sergeant, you will remember what I said, won't you?
Yes, of course, miss.
It's important. Why won't you listen to me?
If you'll just let us get on with our jobs, miss.
All right, I'm going. But, Sergeant...
Miss?
I know what I'm talking about. Something's wrong here, and if you won't take me seriously, I'll find someone who will.
The Determined Client by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Fritha Goody as Caroline Addleton. The Determined Client.
There you are, Miss Addleton.
Thank you. It's a cold day.
Indeed. I thought it was rather clement.
You're probably right, Mr. Holmes. It's me. I haven't felt properly warm, not since it happened. Could that be some sort of delayed shock, Doctor?
Bereavement can give rise to shock, yes.
Mr. Holmes has told you what's happened.
Well, only the basic facts. I should prefer you to tell the story in your own words.
But it's all in my letter.
It would be of enormous value.
Yes, of course, I understand. You must forgive me, gentlemen. I can't seem to think clearly just at the moment.
Just take your time, Miss Addleton. There's no hurry.
Quite so. Drink your coffee, gather your thoughts, and wait until you're completely recovered from the rigours of your journey up from Sussex. I trust the delay to your train didn't cause you undue concern.
Oh, why, no, it was no more than 15 minutes and... But how in the world could you know about that?
The trains from Upper Chiddingly are scheduled to arrive at 1:30 the hour. There are always cabs at the station at this time of day, so you should have arrived here in good time and feeling rested from your journey, instead of which you were 2.5 minutes late and, forgive me, somewhat flustered and out of breath.
How do you know it wasn't the cab from the station that had the problem?
Leaving a defective cab and finding a fresh one would hardly occupy a quarter of an hour. The deduction is a simple one.
To you, maybe. To me, it seems rather more like magic. I can see that I was right to come to you, Mr. Holmes.
Let's hope that I can justify your faith.
Oh, I'm sure you shall. Very well. I suppose I have to begin some 40-odd years ago.
And so to the final and main provision... The control of the family business, together with all holdings, property and investments pertaining thereto, these I bequeath in their entirety to my younger son, William Arthur Addleton.
What?
Mr. Addleton, please.
Yes, show a little decorum, brother.
Decorum? It's an outrage. He must have lost his mind.
Not according to his doctors. Your late father was, here we are. Perfectly lucid to the end.
I'll fight this.
I rather doubt that you'll meet with any success.
Come on, Tom. Don't be a bad loser.
We were going to be treated equally. He always said so.
Equality has to be earned. Who took over the reins when he couldn't cope anymore? Who looked after him? Who was there?
I was abroad, for God's sake!
Because you couldn't wait to get away from the old man. Well, now you've got your reward.
Favouring the younger son, that rarely leads to harmony.
I'm afraid it certainly didn't in this case. William Addleton, my father, came into money, power and responsibility. My Uncle Thomas got nothing at all.
What on earth had he done to deserve that sort of treatment?
I don't know.
Did you never ask your father?
I tried once. He made it very clear that the matter was never to be raised again.
It angered him to think of it?
I don't think it was anger. I think it made him sad. Terribly sad. But, of course, I honoured his wishes and never mentioned it again.
So the rift between the two brothers was never healed?
Never. My uncle moved away and the family was broken forever.
They had no contact at all with each other?
Not for a long time. Then there was a particular incident. My Uncle Tom came to see my father.
For heaven's sake, William!
I've told you I'd help you if I could.
And just what precisely is stopping you?
It's not a good time. The business, it's not doing well.
Oh, you expect me to believe that?
I don't see too many signs of deprivation.
You know nothing whatsoever about it.
William, my son is ill. Seriously ill. I need money.
I'm sorry. You'll have to find it somewhere else.
Very well. But I'm warning you, brother, if the boy dies, his blood will be on your hands.
Was your father telling the truth about the business?
I've no reason to believe otherwise, Mr. Holmes.
Quite so. Pray, continue.
The boy, my cousin Frederick, didn't die.
I'm pleased to hear it.
But from that day on, the separation was complete. My father and my uncle never again had anything to do with each other.
What of yourself and your cousin?
Frederick and I hadn't met at all. The first time I ever saw him was just over a year ago.
In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life still to come. Amen.
It's over. Come along, Karen.
Yes, Father.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm Frederick Addleton. Your nephew, sir.
Indeed.
And your cousin, Miss Caroline. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance.
Cousin Frederick, my condolences on your loss.
Thank you.
I'd like to speak to your mother, too, may I?
My mother died when I was a baby.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
Sir, Uncle, I'd like to thank you for coming.
I need no thanks for attending my own brother's funeral.
And I want to invite you back to my house. There's not much, just some food and a bit to drink. But I thought we could see the old man off properly. Please, say you'll come.
It sounds as though he was trying to repair the family rift.
Yes, that's what I thought. And I don't mind telling you, gentlemen, I welcomed it.
And your father?
He wasn't an effusive man, Mr. Holmes. But yes, I thought I saw signs that things might improve at long last. Unfortunately, I was mistaken.
How dare you, sir?
I? The offence was yours, sir.
Oh, no.
Now, will you please calm down and display a little decorum?
Calm down? You insult me. You insult my father.
I knew nothing of the sort. For heaven's sake, remember the occasion.
I'll remember it, all right. This conversation is at an end.
Just as you wish.
Damn the man for a... Sorry.
What on earth did you say to him?
Nothing he didn't deserve to hear.
Had your father been ill for long?
He hadn't been ill at all. The old man drank himself to death.
Oh.
Couldn't cope with life and looked for the easiest way out.
I'm so sorry.
You're not the one who should apologise.
After that, Cousin Frederick didn't contact us again. I saw nothing of him for at least a 12-month. And then, 3 days ago, quite out of the blue, he called at the house.
Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Sindon, sir.
Well, Sindon, my name is Frederick Addleton. I'm the son of the man who's cheated out of owning this house and being your master.
I see, sir.
I've come to see my uncle and I won't be told no.
I'm afraid he's not here, sir.
When do you expect him back?
Well, I'm afraid I couldn't say, sir.
I'll wait.
You witnessed this yourself?
No, I was out walking. Mrs. Sindon told me about it afterwards.
Very good. Please continue. You're being admirably clear and precise.
Oh, I know how important that is for you.
Model client, Watson.
Yes, indeed.
You're very kind. Well, Mrs. Sindon showed Cousin Frederick into the library to wait for Father. But after nearly 2 hours, he said he wouldn't wait any longer.
Were you back at the house by then? Did you observe his departure?
I did, yes.
I'll be back tonight, 9 o'clock.
Yes, sir. May I tell Mr. Addleton why you want to see him?
No. I think I'd rather it came as a surprise.
You're sure of his words?
Completely.
Thank you. Continue.
Frederick did come back later, just as he said he would, and my father agreed to see him. They went into Father's study.
Where were you at this time?
I was upstairs in my room, reading.
What?
Father? Father? Oh!
Miss Caroline? Oh, oh, what's happened? Oh. Miss Caroline? Oh.
Frederick was lying against the hearth. My father was just behind the door. There was a gun in his hand. His head... There was blood. So much blood. Both of them were covered in blood.
Your father had killed your cousin and then himself?
Well, that's what I thought at first.
An entirely natural supposition.
But I was wrong.
Then what had happened?
I was wrong on two counts. Firstly, Frederick wasn't dead. The bullet had hit him in the shoulder, the left shoulder. The doctor said that the force had thrown him backwards and he'd hit his head against the edge of the hearth.
And knocked himself unconscious?
It's rather more serious than that.
A fracture to the base of the skull.
Damage to the spinal column?
Mm, possibly to the brain itself.
He's still unconscious. He can't talk or move, but he's still alive.
And your father?
Killed instantly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Thank you.
Miss Addleton, you said you were wrong on two counts. What was the second?
After the first shock of that awful sight, I realised the truth. Dr. Watson, my father would never have shot a man. Never.
Well, it's very natural that you should think so, Miss Addleton. But the evidence...
My father was not capable of such a terrible act, and I'll not have his memory blackened by such a lie.
But, forgive me, but what other explanation is possible?
I don't know, but there must be one. There must be.
Tell me about the gun. Whose was it?
It was my father's. I know. Yeah, but you have to believe me.
Well, I'd like to, of course. But you have to admit that all the evidence points to your father being guilty.
No, sir, not all the evidence.
You have proof of his innocence?
I have something that doesn't fit, something that isn't right.
Holmes, you know about this?
Miss Addleton put it in her letter, yes. It was the reason I agreed to see her.
Dr. Watson, 10 years ago, my father was injured. He was visiting a factory and there was an accident with one of the machines. His hand was terribly damaged. The doctors worked miracles. You'd never have known to look at him. But he completely lost the use of his fingers and his thumb.
Oh, it sounds as if the tendons were severed.
Yes, that's right. That's what they said. He couldn't pick up or grip anything ever again. You can ask anyone in the household. They'll swear it's true.
Oh, Miss Addleton, I've no reason to doubt your word.
Oh, but it's important. It's so important. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not putting this at all well.
The point, Watson, is that this crippling injury was to William Addleton's right hand.
He trained himself to use his left hand instead. He had no choice.
But what does that have to do with the shooting?
Dr. Watson, when I found my father, he was clutching the gun in his right hand. Thank you. Thank you for believing in me, Mr. Holmes.
We'll join you at the house as soon as we can, probably later this afternoon.
I'll make sure the study stays locked until you come.
Huh.
Though I'm afraid all sorts of people have rather trampled over everything. The doctor, the servants, the police.
Did you tell the police about the gun?
Oh, of course, but they didn't seem to understand what I meant.
Well, they had a straightforward crime with a straightforward solution. I'm afraid that asking them actually to think about things was rather too ambitious. Have a safe journey, Miss Addleton.
I shall. Oh, my heart is so much lighter. Thank you both. All right, driver. Waterloo Station.
The old Waterloo? Yes, miss. Yep, yep.
What an exceptional young woman. Observant, too. What do you think really happened in that room?
Let's get back inside.
Well, you obviously think that something's wrong or you wouldn't have taken the case.
Something is wrong.
If he did somehow manage to use his damaged hand, it could explain why he missed.
Missed?
He hit the man's shoulder rather than his heart.
His left shoulder.
Oh, is that significant?
It will be. Why do you assume he was aiming for the heart?
Yes. I suppose that's true. We don't actually know that he was trying to kill him, do we?
No, we know remarkably little, in some areas at least, and yet in others. I'm going out.
Ah. Can I help?
Yes, you can.
What? Would you like to tell me how?
By meeting me at Waterloo in time for the 2:45 to Upper Chiddingly.
Oh, very good.
And Watson, bring your revolver. There, you see. Ample time.
Oh, I'd hate to be with you when you cut it fine.
Have you thought any more about the case?
Well, of course, but I'm no nearer making sense of it.
Well, we lack data. Well, you were quite right in describing our client as observant. There are too many details still to be filled in.
Principally, just what Frederick Addleton said to his uncle.
Well, not only what, why then? If you wanted to confront the man, why wait a year to do it?
Perhaps he'd discovered something new about his father. We need to know what he'd been up to during those 12 months.
That's what I've been trying to find out.
Did you have any success?
A little. Just over 10 months ago, a Frederick Addleton was arrested in London.
Was he, by Jove? On what charge?
Drunken brawling.
Oh, dear. Like father, like son, do you suppose?
Yeah, that was the only time he actually fell foul of the law, but it was exceedingly useful.
Useful? In what way?
Well, because it furnished me with his address, of course. He was sharing a room in Soho with one Elliot Matthews, a market worker.
Does he still live there? Did you speak to this Matthews?
I didn't have time.
Oh, no, I suppose not. So, did the younger man want a share of the business? Or at the very least, some financial help? Presumably there was an argument. The older man produces his gun. The wrong hand. Why was it in the wrong hand?
Well, we'll know more once we've examined the scene of the crime. Until then, my advice is to sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey.
This is the door to Father's study.
Before we go in, there are just a few things I'd like to have clarified. Firstly, what will happen now to the family business?
I don't know. I have no brothers to take over.
Perhaps your father had a trusted colleague, a protégé?
Very possibly. He never talked to me about such things. I suppose it's all in his will.
Yes, no doubt. And now, next, you mentioned that a good many people had been in the room since the shooting.
Yes, the police, the undertakers, of course.
Yes, plus your servants and yourself.
I've not really been inside after that first time. I couldn't.
No, naturally not.
But I've tried my best to leave things as they were, even the blood. It's not been easy, Mr. Holmes, knowing what was on the other side of that door.
It must have been enormously difficult for you.
And I appreciate your diligence.
Thank you. Very well, then.
Just one more thing, if I may.
Of course.
Now, you said that the gun belonged to your father.
Yes.
Do you know where he kept it?
I assumed it was with the rest of the collection.
He collected firearms?
In a small way. He'd only recently taken up the hobby.
Where did he house this collection?
In a cabinet in the library.
The library?
Is it important?
In a case like this, everything is important. You may open the study door now.
Do you need me to be in the room with you?
No, no. Please wait somewhere else. If I have any questions, I'll come and find you.
Thank you.
That was good of you.
I simply didn't want her disturbing the evidence. Tread carefully, Doctor.
As if there was a fight.
Yeah, not a fight, exactly, I fancy.
Upturned furniture and stuff all over the floor, and there wasn't a fight.
First things first. The older man lay there, and the younger was by the fire. Oh, that's very singular.
What is?
Yes, just a detail, but a very interesting one. Just stay by the door, please, while I examine the room.
Is there anything clear enough to read?
Yes, a surprising amount, thanks to our client's care and a well-polished parquet floor. Yes, the two men faced each other across the desk. The younger man was agitated. He moved around a good deal. And the older...
What?
It's harder to see. Ah, yes, at one point both men were standing at the side of the desk. Now, Watson, come and be William Addleton.
Oh, very well. Where exactly?
Here. No, a little further left. Just left. That's good. Now, this is where he was when the fatal shot was fired.
Oh, from the bloodstains on the wall?
Quite. And from the corresponding stains on the floor, we can see precisely where and how he collapsed.
Do you need me to reenact the fall?
Not unless you particularly want to.
Well, I think I'll stay on my feet, thanks.
Wise decision. Right. Now, I'm the nephew, Frederick. Now, where was I standing?
Well, surely over by the fireplace where it was found. The shot would push you, him, backwards, but not all that far.
Exactly.
What? What have you seen?
Precisely what I expected to see. If I take up my position here,
I certainly have a clear shot at you, whichever hand I use.
Yes, indeed.
Holmes?
Someone's been clever. Very clever. But not clever enough.
Well, Mr. Holmes, have you discovered anything?
It's rather too early to say.
Oh, of course, I'm sorry.
I want you to leave the study exactly as it is for a while longer. You can do that, I trust?
Well, yes, I suppose so, yes.
Capital. And now I'd like to speak to your housekeeper.
That's right, Mr. Holmes. I showed the young man into the library that afternoon. Mr. Addleton usually had visitors wait there for him.
Did you close the door or leave it open?
I left it open.
And did you return to the library at any time while Frederick Addleton was there?
Once, sir, to offer him some refreshment.
How would you describe his mood?
Tense, sir. I found him on his feet rather than sitting. I had the impression he'd been pacing up and down.
Indeed.
Oh, yes, sir.
And what of his face? Expression?
Well, sir...
Apprehensive? Uncertain? Frightened?
Oh, no, sir, I couldn't say so. It was more... Well...
Yes?
Well, triumphant.
Was it indeed? Tell me, Mrs. Simpson, where is the library?
Quite a decent collection.
I'm rather more interested in the display case, or more specifically, the lock. The light's not very good in here.
What have you found?
Take my lens. You see?
It's scratched to high heaven.
Yes, not the neatest of jobs, but it did the trick. The lock's been forced.
And you can see where the gun used to be. There's still an imprint on the velvet.
Yes, so there is.
Oh, Mrs. Sinden said you were in here.
You've had no objection, I hope.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, please feel free to go wherever you have to, and to ask whatever you must to. Is there something important about the gun cabinet?
Exceedingly so. And now, if you'll excuse us, Watson and I will return later.
You're leaving? So soon?
For a couple of hours at the most. Your groom can drive us to the town.
No, sir. He was a right good master. Never a cross word.
Miss Addleton?
What about her, sir?
Does she treat you kindly?
She's a very gracious lady, sir.
Is she, content here, would you say?
Hardly my place to comment, sir.
No, I just thought it might be rather a quiet life.
She's always struck me as happy enough, sir. Well, till recent, of course.
The tragedy, you mean?
That's right, sir. That's what I meant.
Now, Watson, you're quite clear on what you have to do.
Completely.
Good man.
I suppose I don't get anywhere.
Well, then we'll be no further advanced, but I have every confidence in you. What's the matter?
Well, I was just remembering a previous occasion of this sort. My efforts were greeted with the charming comment that I'd made a complete mess of everything.
Really?
Really. Miss Violet Smith, Bob Carruthers?
Oh, my dear fellow, that was years ago. You've been coming on quite nicely since then. Now, off you go, you'll miss your train.
Oh, Sergeant McGann, sir!
For pity's sake, Stevens. Dignity there, dignity.
Yes, sir. Dignity, sir. But it's...
Well, spit it out, boy. You got the Chief Constable out front, have you? Bloody hell far you haven't, have you?
Not the Chief Constable, not her.
Good afternoon, Sergeant. I wonder if I might have a moment of your time.
Oh, my Sunday helmet. Are you?
Yes, I am. How do you do?
Matthews. Elliot Matthews.
What about him?
I need to speak to him.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I'm a solicitor.
What makes you think he might be here, then?
Well, I've just spoken to his landlady. Are you going to help me or not?
It depends. What's your business with him?
He's come into some money.
Oh. Oh, well, that's different. Sorry, sir. You can't be too careful, can you? I'm Elliot Matthews. At your service, sir.
No, I don't think so.
I tell you, I'm Matthews.
Your name's George. I heard someone call out to you as I walked up. And you're a moderately well-off married man with at least one child. Elliot Matthews is younger, single, and too poor to afford a room of his own. But you know where he is. Your eyes gave you away. Well?
I'll get him.
Oh, yes, the young lady pointed it out to me.
made quite a song and dance about it. But between you and me, I put it down to hysteria. Seen it before. Well, and I dare say you have too.
So you attach no importance to it?
I knew a farmer once. Had a lamb trapped under a fallen tree. Massive great oak.
Yes?
He picked up that tree and tossed it aside like it was a matchstick. God's honour. When it comes down to it, if a man's got sufficient cause, he can be capable of damn near anything.
There you are.
Thanks. Cheers.
Ah, cheers.
That's good.
Look, I'm sorry about the money business.
Don't be. I knew it wasn't true. Who's going to leave me money? Clever, though. That was the way to get old George Liston right enough. He's probably expecting a cut grasping old sod.
There'll be a sovereign in it for you, though.
I'm all yours, sir. What do you want?
Tell me about Frederick Addleton.
Sergeant, you've been extremely helpful.
Oh, my pleasure, sir.
Just one final question. Presumably you still have William Addleton's gun.
Of course. It's under lock and key in the evidence room waiting on the coroner.
Excellent. I'd like to see it.
Well, I suppose we had a laugh sometimes. Few and far between there was, though.
And the rest of the time?
He was miserable as sin. Mind you, he was cheerful enough last time I saw him.
When was that?
Just a few days ago. He was like he was finally onto a winner after a string of lame old nags. Sir, do you know when he's coming back? The rent's due Friday.
I'm afraid he won't be coming back.
Not ever?
I'm afraid not.
Bit of a blow, that. Nice diggings, they are.
Well, I dare say that sovereign will see you through for a while.
He will, sir. You're a gentleman.
Do you know why he was so cheerful all of a sudden?
I've got a fair idea. Yes, sir.
Oh, he told you?
He didn't mean to. It was his big secret. But he was a touch too fond of places like this, was old Freddy. And sometimes it got the better of him, if you know what I mean.
I believe I do, yes. Right, Matthews. Tell me everything you know about Frederick Addleton's big secret, and that sovereign might just be joined by its twin.
Once again, thank you for your assistance.
My pleasure, Mr. Holmes. There's nothing dodgy about the case, is there? We went by the book all along the line.
I've simply been commissioned to look into a couple of trifling details. Nothing you should be concerned about.
That's good.
Tell me, how are you faring with your burglaries?
How did you know about them?
It's a careless habit to leave witness statements lying about your desk, even if they are upside down. 4 break-ins so far, is it?
And nasty, too. At least one old gentleman laid about their head with a cudgel. I suppose you wouldn't care to take a look at the business, sir?
It's hardly necessary, Sergeant. The solution's in your own hands. Ask yourself what the stolen items all have in common and where the thieves could sell them. Then you'll have them. A very good day to you. What's wrong?
I was just thinking about what Matthews told me. The depths that people can sink to.
Well, some people sink, others soar. There's a balance to these things. So cheer up, Watson. Your information solves the case.
Are you certain about what happened?
As certain as if I'd stood in that study and watched the whole thing. Do you see some flaw in my reasoning?
Not at all. It just seems so, well, incredible.
Deep hatred, great intelligence, fatal combination.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to tell our client that I've solved the mystery. Ready.
Ready.
I think we should have the door closed. Watson, would you mind?
Oh, yes, of course.
Mr. Holmes, please don't keep me in suspense. What have you discovered?
Very well. First of all, let's remind ourselves of exactly what you saw when you opened the door on that fatal night. Your cousin lay here, his head against the edge of the hearth, his shoulder and chest covered with blood, and your father here, the gun still clutched in his hand.
His right hand?
Quite so, his right hand. To anyone not understanding the significance of that vital fact, what had happened was obvious. William had shot Frederick and then himself. The police thought so, and so did the doctor. But that one fact paints us a very different picture. I saw the implications before ever I left Baker Street.
I knew I was right to come to you.
Watson, would you oblige?
Oh, certainly, yes. There.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Watson is standing exactly where William Addleton stood when the fatal shot was fired. And I shall be Cousin Frederick. But first, observe the displaced furniture.
The chair, the drinks table, the shattered glasses, the footstool.
The police said there'd been a fight.
A curious fight which toppled furniture along so straight a path. What if I return everything to its proper place? The chair here by the desk, the footstool, naturally enough, by the fireside armchair, the drinks table here, broken glass I shall leave on the floor. Now, are those the correct positions, Miss Addleton?
Exactly right.
Thank you. And finally, these few scattered books to the end of the desk where they so obviously join these others. So, now, Doctor, are you ready?
Ready.
You are William. I am Frederick. And I have this. Dr. Watson's ever-trusty service revolver. A more than adequate substitute for the actual murder weapon.
Mr. Holmes!
Oh, I assure you, we're completely safe. It's not loaded. Oh. But on that night, the gun most certainly was loaded. Frederick had ample time to get hold of the bullets after he stole it from the case in the library earlier that afternoon.
Frederick had the gun?
Having called here to get it precisely when he knew that your father would be out. Yes, he had the gun. And this is what he did with it. Firstly, he held it to William Addleton's head. And then... And William Addleton fell dead. Now, Frederick had to act quickly before the shot brought people running. He moved back to the fireplace. Where?
He shot himself.
In the shoulder. He took a big risk. The wound had to be serious enough to look convincing, but not so crippling as to prevent him from carrying out the rest of his plan. And the risk paid off. He was able to stagger back across to the older man's body and put the gun into his dead hand.
But it was the wrong hand. He didn't know about Father's injury.
That was the first of his mistakes. The second was that he barely had enough strength to get back to his position by the fire. He was so weak and disorientated. And so, on his way...
Everything's back where it was.
Exactly. He left a trail. It was invisible to the police, but not to me. So finally he was back in his place. He planned to lie down and feign unconsciousness. And when someone arrived, he'd miraculously come round, ready to explain just what had happened. William Addleton had shot him, and only by the grace of God was the wound not fatal.
This is incredible. And my father's death? I can see that Frederick made it look like suicide, but how would he have explained it?
As remorse. Thinking that he'd killed a man, your father took his own life.
A dead murderer is still a murderer. And remorse, however sincere, doesn't affect the crime. Your father's reputation would have been ruined. Possibly his business too. Frederick's revenge for a lifetime of poverty, illness and emptiness.
The villain! What a calculated, vicious thing to do. There was no excuse, none. Oh, but I'm sorry. I don't understand. If he was just going to pretend to be knocked out, why is he in the hospital?
Fate took a hand against him. Doctor, the decanter from the desk, if you would.
Here.
Yes, I think that will serve. Look at the floor here by the hearth.
It's all stained where the drinks went over. It was slippery.
Polished parquet. A loose rug and a spreading pool of liquid. It would have been like ice. And Frederick Addleton, already weak, already dizzy, lost his footing, fell over backwards and...
Oh. How can I ever thank you? You've saved my father's honour.
All I've done is read the evidence so amply provided by this room.
It was magnificent.
The evidence so carefully put here for me to find.
Mr. Holmes, I don't understand.
Then allow me to spell it out for you. Everything I've just told you was a lie.
Frederick didn't shoot my father.
And he didn't try to disguise the fact, no.
Well, then what do you believe really happened?
What the police and the doctor think happened. The evidence,
the genuine evidence, still just visible under this blanket of deception, shows that your father did indeed shoot your cousin and then mistakenly thinking that he'd killed him. Take his own life?
No.
The gun didn't come from the collection in the library. The imprint left on the velvet in the case is of a much larger and heavier firearm. Your father kept the murder weapon in this room, in the top drawer of his desk. And he kept it loaded. I didn't understand why until I learned of the recent spate of burglaries. He was a prudent man who knew the value of his possessions, and he was taking every precaution.
But it was in his wrong hand, for God's sake.
Of course it was. Placed there deliberately to reinforce the myth of Frederick's deception.
Just as the furniture and books were also planted carefully in position to look as though they'd been knocked flying by a wounded man.
How could you possibly tell that?
There are 7 different indications, but I'll give you the 2 clearest. Look at the rugs. Now, they're as displaced as the furniture. They were kicked and rumpled as I stumbled over them. But when I first walked in here, most of them were completely undisturbed. And if Frederick really had staggered twice across the room, he would have left a quite distinct trail of blood in his wake. There is none.
What are you saying?
The conclusion is inescapable. Someone had gone to considerable lengths to brand Frederick Addleton as a cold-blooded killer.
But who, Mr. Holmes? Who did this?
Someone consumed with hatred for your cousin. Someone who wanted to see him hanged for murder. Someone who had access to this room before the police arrived.
Someone with the best possible reason to despise Frederick Addleton and everything he stood for. The best possible personal reason.
How much do you know?
I know everything.
Then for God's sake, let's get out of this damned room. Mr. Holmes, do you really know everything?
Your cousin inherited his father's weakness for drink. I'm sorry to say that the whole story came out one night when he was in a drunken fit.
Oh, dear God. Including my name?
No, not your name. We three are the only ones who know the details.
And you have my word that they will go no further.
And mine.
You're not going to tell the police?
That is not my intention.
Oh, I thought... I just assumed...
I have been engaged to act on your behalf. That's exactly what I propose to do.
Thank you. Both of you.
Miss Addleton... I said that we knew the details. The truth is, one or two of the finer points remain just a trifle hazy. Would it distress you to answer a few questions?
Ask me whatever you wish, Mr. Holmes. I'll do my best to answer.
Thank you. First of all, you admit to planting the clues, placing the furniture, removing the decoy gun from the case, putting the murder weapon into your father's damaged hand.
I felt sure that the police would notice it all immediately and believe exactly what I wanted them to believe. I should have paid more attention to your stories, Dr. Watson.
You pointed out the oddity of the gun, but not the rest.
I didn't dare. It wouldn't have been in character.
Quite. And so you came to me.
Thinking that I was cleverer than you. What a fool I am.
Well, my dear young lady, you've hardly been in your right senses.
When you said that you hadn't seen your cousin for almost a year, you were lying.
Yes.
The truth being... that for some little time following his father's funeral, you and he had enjoyed a most intimate acquaintance.
Yes.
Specifically, you and your cousin were lovers.
Holmes.
It's all right, Dr. Watson.
Did he propose marriage to you?
You surely don't think I'd have... Oh. Yes, Doctor, he did. He proposed, I accepted, we... He wanted to reunite the family, that's what he said. And I believed him. How could I have been so naive? He never loved me. He felt nothing for me.
He must have been very plausible.
Oh, yes, he made me believe him. But then I'd no basis for comparison, had I? For most of my life, the only man I'd known was my father.
Whose idea was it to keep this happy news a secret?
Frederick's. Wait, he said. We mustn't tell my father until the time is right.
But that time never came. Frederick broke off the engagement, leaving your hopes dashed and your prospects
Ruined. That's the word you're seeking, Mr. Holmes. What you're looking at is soiled goods. I believe that's the currently fashionable term.
But Frederick wasn't satisfied with just that.
Oh, no. It wasn't me he wanted to destroy. It was my father.
He planned to tell him what had happened. To gloat about what he'd done.
And how he'd make sure everyone knew of it.
He told you what he was going to do?
Laughing in my face while he said it. Laughing at how everyone would know about William Addleton, pillar of the business community, and his shameless slut of a daughter.
He came to the house and told your father everything, goading him beyond endurance.
But not realizing that William had a loaded gun immediately to hand.
Not content with everything else, he made my father a murderer, or as good as. He succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. But at least he's paid the price for it. Dr. Watson, will he live?
I think it very unlikely.
Will it shock you if I say I'm glad?
No, Miss Addleton. It won't shock me at all. Strictly speaking, did she actually commit a crime?
Tampering with evidence, interfering with the course of justice, attempting to frame an innocent man?
Hardly innocent.
No, and as you said, I fancy he'll soon be answering for his crimes in a rather higher court than the Sussex Assizes.
Yes. So you've no qualms about not telling the police?
None whatsoever. You?
Certainly not.
I thought not.
What do you suppose will happen to her?
I don't know. She has a formidable brain.
Well, that's true. To come up with that scheme. How soon did you know?
Before we left Baker Street.
Oh, come on.
Well, didn't it strike you that she was just a little too tearful and a touch too thankful? And then she gave us her cousin's background with admirable clarity. It was strangely vague about the scene of the shooting. Well, she said it herself. She was wary of being too obvious, of pointing out her own false clues.
Well, I must say she took me in completely.
My friend, it's your lot in life to admire women. Mine is to distrust them. On sight.
You miss so much, you know.
Imagine trying to set herself up against me. As she said, she should have paid rather more attention to your stories.
In The Determined Client, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Caroline Addleton was played by Fritha Goody. William Addleton was played by Ian Masters, Thomas Addleton by Philip Fox, Frederick Addleton by Rhys Meredith, Mrs. Sinden by Joanna McCallum, and the lawyer by John Rowe. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Determined Client was written by Bert Cools from a reference in the short story The Golden Pince-Nez by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.